Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three officially underway right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie right side, Dubs Anderson bringing that heat, and 2 hours already down. How many professional sports have we talked about? How many great topics have we brought up? And we still, Dubsy, have an hour to go. Refreshed and ready. It's a Wednesday. It's hump day. Tomorrow is week number one in college football. Next week is the NFL season. You got to be fired up at this time.
What else do we need in our lives, Donnie? Yeah. You know, as sports fans and bettors, there's absolutely no shortage. I would make the argument, you know, the anticipation that we have this week on this Wednesday, it could be unmatched going through the calendar year. I'm that bullish, Johnny. I mean, we got everything. We got tennis. We got golf. We're getting set for NFL college football back there on Saturday. So absolutely jam-packed. And it's been a fantastic start to a little happy hump day here on a Wednesday. A couple of nice tickets trending for this afternoon with plenty of big storylines to talk about.
No, absolutely. It's such a great time of year because you start to just get into that flow of football season. Then before you can blink, Dubsy, we're talking about the NBA, the NHL, you know, every college basketball coming back into it. So great stuff here on the horizon, which includes, yes, don't forget about baseball in September. I'm telling you, you can still make some good money there. But obviously we wait for October, and that's playoff baseball. And since we're talking about baseball here, Dubsy, in hour number three, how about a question for the people out there? Now, each and every day, as you guys know, we like to reach out to the public and get their feel on a public poll, what they think is right and maybe wrong. If you go to @SportsGrid here and follow along and vote, today's question, baseball player in Major League Baseball. There were two options and an other. The two options were Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, and other, which means roughly 11% coming in on other people think that maybe these two guys aren't the best players in baseball, which is crazy. But my vote, it actually went towards Aaron Judge. So technically, I am outnumbered here with 31% of the vote. Ohtani running away with it. Dubsy, how did you vote in this poll and why?
I'm so biased to Shohei Ohtani. I'm out here on the West Coast. It's all about the Dodgers. And look, he's top five in all key metrics. He became the sixth member of the 40-40 club last week. Again, he's got a propensity to do it on the big stage, the special stuff. There's nothing too big for Shohei Ohtani, and we're going to see that going into the playoffs. I truly believe he can carry the Dodgers to World Series. And I guess in the back of my mind, Donnie, and I shouldn't be factoring this in, is that Ohtani hasn't even been out there on the hill pitching this year. So when I look at, is it Judge? Is it Ohtani? It's the future lean that sort of keeps creeping in for me. So I've lent with Ohtani on that side of things. But we're not seeing it the same, Donnie, on a Wednesday. Your bias towards big, bad Aaron Judge, I mean, continues to do it at a high clip. Why do you think he's the best player on the planet going against Ohtani.
You know what the funny part about it is, Dubs, as I look at this poll, and sometimes it might just be human bias at this point saying, like, this year, if we take a look at it, it should be Aaron Judge because they're on an even playing field. You look at the home runs, you look at the batting average, you look at the RBI, and you say, wow, Aaron Judge is actually playing the field this year as well. Now, we do know once it flips back to next year, and if Shohei Ohtani appears on that mound, and let's just say he's not even an absolutely dominant pitcher. Let's just say he goes 12-9 on the mound with an ERA of 3.9 and still is able to throw pitches throughout the season. Nobody else can do that. How can you have a batter that's going to hit 50 home runs and pitch at the same time? It's almost not fair. It's almost like as long as Ohtani has a decent season the next 5 to 6 years, how can he not be the MVP every single year and the best player on the planet because he's doing something nobody else can do? So maybe for me, Dubs, I looked at this poll and said, well, you know what? If I am going to give it to the best player in baseball, at least he plays the field now and Ohtani doesn't and his numbers are strong. But I think you're correct. And the public is right voting this way. If we're just asking ourselves, moving forward, and once Ohtani is fully healthy, I don't see even how you can make an argument that Ohtani wouldn't be the best player on the planet in baseball.
It's the social media team, Donnie. I mean, if they pose the question, who's having a better season, it's Aaron Judge. But if it's who's the better player, well, yeah, I don't know. I keep leaning towards Ohtani here, but truly special stuff. It feels like we've got two unicorns going through 2024. Yep. And why do we bother playing the regular season, Donnie? We're now a month out from the playoffs. It's the Yankees as the top division choice in the AL. It's the Dodgers in the National League. But I'll tell you what, for Ohtani, plus 950, he started the year for MVP honors. He now shortens up to unbackable odds. So even the odds makers were against Ohtani having this bounce back after that offseason injury, but truly special stuff from both players. You'd love to see it there come October.
Like, look at these numbers. And again, Ohtani's a leadoff guy. 294 batting average, 41 home runs, 94 RBI, but 40 stolen bases really sticks out here. Because when you take a look at Aaron Judge on the opposite side, a 333 average, which does best Ohtani right now, 51 home runs, which does best Shohei Ohtani, 122 RBIs, which does best him. But the running is a part of the game. And just something like the 2020 club or the 30-30 club, right, is crazy for players even to get in there because the advent of running in Major League Baseball was sort of taken out of the equation over the past 10 to 15 years. Now you have a better chance to run because why? The bases are bigger, which gives you a better advantage of sliding in. And number two, a pitcher just can't throw over to first base 16 times in a row to try to check you. You throw over there two times, you know, he can't go back. You're open to stealing much more times. But to have a player like Shohei Ohtani, it's not even as if it's like, okay, Ronald Acuna Jr., smaller in stature. We know he's got the speed. Obviously, he got injured this year, but has the power. Like, if you told me, like, he's a 40-40 or 50-50 guy, like, you know what? That makes sense. But Shohei Ohtani, that big body frame out there, Dubsy, is going to possibly get 50 stolen bases along with 50 home runs. It's almost unthinkable.
Yeah, and I guess the production he adds to the Dodgers, I mean, it's unparalleled. It's truly, you know, special stuff. It's the work ethic. It's the professionalism. You see it in the clubhouse. You see it on the daily. There really are no nights off for Shohei Ohtani. But I would ask you, Donnie, which ball club would lose more if they lost their star? Would it be the Yankees without Aaron Judge? Because I feel like the Dodgers, you know, without Ohtani, they'd still be sort of middling along here for Dave Roberts. They've got all these superstars. I know the Pinstripes have got the likes of Stanton and Juan Soto, but I really do think, considering the season that the Yankees have had, Aaron Judge has arguably done more for them than Ohtani has brought for the Dodgers.
I agree. It's a good question you bring up, too, because you're right about that. You just expect the Dodgers to be like, next man up. Even though it's Shohei Ohtani, the MVP, I think they would be able to weather the storm a little bit better. But also, like, if they lose Ohtani and Mookie Betts goes back into the leadoff spot, but then you're still fighting off the Padres and the Diamondbacks, something to watch. Now, also, we're looking at two players that don't really have all that much, if any, success in the playoffs. So both of these guys got paid handsomely, specifically Ohtani. They're performing worth their weight in gold in the regular season. As we line up towards the playoffs, we don't anticipate a cooling off period here, Dubsy, do we? Like, don't we still expect these guys dominant in their game heading into the playoffs to dominate on the biggest stage? And by the way, isn't it great to see Ohtani? He's going to be in the playoffs. How great is that?
Yeah, and Ohtani just feels like he is a player who's going to lift to the occasion. We start with the Grand Slam there over the weekend to reach the 40-40 club. There's nothing too big for Ohtani. For Aaron Judge, I think he's going to step up to the mark, but situational analysis, will Judge continue to be put in the same spot from oppositions and have that chance to reach the greatness which the odds makers are trying to tease us with that he could potentially get to? You highlighted that earlier in the show. Judge may not have the same opportunities as Ohtani going through the back end of the season.
I'm telling you, Judge hitting 333 on the season is absolutely astounding. We'll see what these two guys do down the stretch and the height that they can reach. You want to handicap some Major League Baseball with us? Come on back to the early line. We're starting that up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line here on the Sports Grid. Dubs Andis alongside Donny Wrightside, and we are talking all things baseball. 15 games on tap out there on the Diamonds for your Wednesday afternoon, and we're looking towards the late game. It's the Dodgers playing host to the Orioles. The Orioles got the score there last night, and Donny, and taking a look at the numbers for this one, projected to be a very close game. Right around a pick'em here. It's the Dodgers going with Walker Buehler out there on the hill. It's Corbin Burns telling the slab for Baltimore. 80% of the money points towards the Dodgers, but how do you see this one shaping up?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Dubs, it looks like it should be a pick'em in this contest. You got Corbin Burns, the ace of the staff for the Orioles, on the mound. But having said that, he hasn't been all that great as of late. And if you even take a look at his last 60 days, he's had 52 and two-thirds innings pitched. How about an ERA of 5.30? That's not good enough yet. He was absolutely dominant to start the season, but now showing some signs of leakage here as of late. XFIP is okay at a 4.02. If we flip it over to the other side, Walker Buehler still trying to find his way here in this Major League Baseball season. 208 batters he's faced, an ISO of 249 and a weighted on base percentage of 400 against him. That's not good enough. If we go over the last 30 days, Dubs, he's only faced 40 total batters. That's a 250 ISO with a weighted on base percentage of 431 against. So something has to give. Either Walker Buehler is going to correct himself on the mound against a very good lineup, or we're going to see Corbin Burns, get back to what we saw at the early parts of the season. I'm willing to roll with the Dodgers. At this price point for them being at home, I think they can bounce back from that loss yesterday and pick up a victory. The one thing that we need to see from the Orioles, though, is Corbin Burns has to get back to form if the Orioles want to be a player in the AL pennant race.
Expected to be a close one there. That's the late game down in Chavez Ravine. Let's take it back out to the bank. The Philadelphia Phillies taking on the Houston Astros, and it's the Phillies looking to sweep the three-game series. A couple of starting arms who have been a little vulnerable, to say the least. Spencer Arrighetti gets the start here for the Astros with a 4.94 ERA, and it's Taijuan Walker getting the ball there for the Phillies. It's Houston projected at minus 108. Okay, so very close to a pick'em there with that market slightly changing. Expect to be another close game here this afternoon, Donnie.
Yeah, how about that, too? The first two games we pick out here, massive implications in the standings, and we're not getting those massive numbers like minus 180, minus 175, roughly a pick'em on both sides. And how about this? Spencer Arrighetti, to start his Major League season, wasn't very good, but he hasn't been that bad, particularly over the past 60 days here, Dubs. We take a look at him, 51 and two-thirds innings pitch, an ERA at 4, but an XFIP number that I love to pay attention to at a 3.75. It's very manageable. And even though the Philadelphia Phillies technically have come out of their shell over the past couple games, their numbers over the past month don't show them doing extremely well against right-handed pitching. Kyle Schwarber and JT Realmuto, similar to yesterday we talked about, still having the best numbers against right-handed pitching. The rest of that lineup leaves a lot to be desired. Even though Arrighetti's not a fantastic pitcher, he has been performing well as of late. You flip it over to the Philadelphia Phillies side with Taijuan Walker on the mound. He has been absolutely brutal on the season. 288 batters in totality. Now, he did spend some time in the IL, but a 248 ISO. So against and a weighted on base percentage of 389. If we just look at the past 30 days, only 57 batters he's faced. But if you focus on the 26 right-handed batters that he went up against, Dubsy, a 636 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 664. This might be the last stand for Taiwan Walker staying in that starting rotation. And this is a big game today. Maybe we get runs because also 95 degrees at first pitch at 405 today at Citizens Bank Park. We might be looking at runs here.
Let's see that ball up for Lion. Philly's trying to go back. Yeah. Back. Let's take Target with the Minnesota Twins. They're at home taking on the Braves from Target Field. And for the Braves, they've been playing some strong baseball. The Twins, they're still right in the mix here, but have had the skids whilst playing at home. It's the Braves at minus 142 there. No surprises here, Donnie. It's Chris Sale telling the slab for the Braves. A 102 whip. He knows how to keep that production down.
You know Chris Sale's been a good pitcher this entire season. We probably think between him and, let's just say, Zach Wheeler coming down the stretch to win that Cy Young. So if I told you, Dubs, on this card, I got 24 pitchers rated over the past 60 days with at least 20 innings pitched. You know who's number one on the card today? It's not a surprise. It's Chris Sale. Over the past 60 days, he has 54 innings pitched. How about an ERA of 2.33? How about an xFIP number, 2.56? He has been absolutely fantastic. 78-degree temperatures in Minnesota today. Wind blowing in around 6 miles per hour, but that's not the focus. I expect a big performance out of Chris Sale, but how about if I told you by the guy name of David Festa that is on the mound today? You look at that number and say, on the season, hasn't looked really great in totality, but his last 30 days, take a look at this, a 134 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 282. Once again, getting back to the pitching charts today, 24 pitchers rated on the card today. I told you Sale was number one. Do you know who number three is? That's David Festa. His ERA, yes, it is high at 4.60, but his analytical numbers coming in like the xFIP at a 3.24, he should be able to hang around. Now, am I picking Minnesota to beat Chris Sale? No, I'm not at this point. But I would be surprised, to be honest, if we get more than 8 runs in this game, Dubs, I'll take the under in this one.
A nice little look towards the unders there. And Donnie, for the AL Central, what a showdown we have between the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Guardians. Out to Ohio we go. It looks like Cleveland holding favoritism for this one. It was the Royals that looked to have found stride going on the road. Last 3 road games, 3 consecutive wins, looking to make it a streak of 4 here today.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to ride the streaking teams here, Dubs. That's the way it is. And the Kansas City Royals are absolutely hot, but the Cleveland Guardians need a win in the absolute worst way. But I'm not so sure that they don't have the better pitcher on the mound today. If we take a look at Michael Wacha, a 2.47 ERA over the past 60 days. How about Tanner Bibee, 3.38? So slight advantage here to Kansas City in the ERA numbers and also in the analytical numbers. Bibee comes on the mound here, hasn't really struggled all that much over the past 30 days. A 135 ISO against and weighted on base percentage of 302. But what do we love about that Kansas City lineup? Look at the weighted on base percentages here of the first 7 guys anticipated in the lineup tonight going up against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. 361, 519, 369, 347, 484, 326, and 312 here. Sometimes, Dubsy, you just got to ride the hot hand, and that right now is with those Kansas City Royals.
Don't even try and fight it. The Pirates with the best ATS numbers in the majors. That game not too far away. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Happy Wednesday. Dubs Anderson alongside Donnie Wrightside getting you set for a fantastic hump day of baseball. 15 games out there on the diamond. Let's take it out to the desert. The Diamondbacks, they've won 6 in a row. They dropped one last night to the Mets. Both teams searching for playoff baseball. A lot of motivation for this one. Luis Severino toes the slab out here this afternoon for the Mets. And taking a look, I feel like we've got a lot of close games expected here from the odds makers. It's now the Diamondbacks taking favoritism, minus 120 on the money line, Donnie.
I'll tell you about this one. If we're just looking at side advantages here, 1 through 9, it's got to be the Arizona Diamondbacks because matchups make these fights. And we're talking about Luis Severino on the mound. Last 30 days, 117 batters that he's faced, a 219 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 364, which is high. Now, take a look at this Diamondbacks lineup. If we're just going, if we really take out Luis Guillorme out of this lineup, look at this. Carroll, 417. McCarthy, 437. Peterson, 470. Bell, 398. Gurriel, 351. Del Castillo, 437. Suarez, 423. Perdomo, 470. This is an absolutely crazy order that has been damaging right-handed pitching. Flip it over to the Mets' perspective here, Dubsy, and take a look at Eduardo Rodriguez. He's actually struggled mightily with right-handed batters as a left-handed pitcher, which really isn't a surprise. But in this lineup today, Lindor, Alonso, and Martinez have high ISOs and weighted on-base percentages against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. The rest of that lineup hasn't shown up all that well. So I'm looking for a bounce-back performance today out of the Arizona Diamondbacks, but not be shocked again if this game does go over the total.
Donnie, I'm going to throw another one at you here. The Cardinals at home going against the Padres. San Diego have been playing some fantastic baseball over the last couple of weeks. They're right in the mix here for the National League, holding a wild card spot. They've now rattled off 4 of the last 5, and they get Joey Musgrove out there on the hill. What do we make of Musgrove and the chances here for the Padres, who are booked as your favorites?
Yeah, some rain in the forecast. You see that total at 8.5. But let's take a look at some statistics here. Andre Pallante will be on the mound, the right-handed pitcher for the Cardinals. If you look at his last 30 days, let's just go the last month, 122 batters he's faced, an 0.55 ISO power number to weighted on base percentage of 262 against. Now, also keep in mind, this Padres lineup, Dubsy, is fantastic, particularly against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. Every single batter we anticipate to be in the lineup today, all above average with the weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching. If we flip it over to Musgrove, his last 56 batters that he's faced in the past 30 days since coming back from the IL, how about an 0.59 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 178? So even though we're looking at a game tonight that's going to be played in St. Louis, give me the San Diego Padres. Better lineup, better pitcher for me tonight.
15 games out there on the diamond. And I'll tell you what, the first one, fast approaching, just a couple of hours away, is the Pittsburgh Pirates at home taking on the Cubs. And the Cubbies have been putting on some runs. It was 18 in the first game of the series. It was 9 there yesterday. But hey, all things start with Paul Skenes getting the start here for the Pirates. What's the expectations for the star ace? Will we see him out there for 5 innings, moving into 6 possibly?
We should. Let's talk about the Cubs Sunday afternoon. I was angry with them, Dubs, only scoring 2 runs. But you're right. They hit the gas pedal on Monday and Tuesday. Now looking to keep that momentum going today. But you're only as good. The momentum, we should say, only as good for the starting pitcher you're going to face the next day. And that's Paul Skenes, one of the best in Major League Baseball. If we're lining up Skenes here on the season, 401 batters he's faced, a 119 ISO against, and a weighted on base percentage of 258. How about a strikeout percentage of 33% between lefties and righties? It's amazing what he's done at his young age. But how many more times are we going to see him, particularly in the month of September? Even though the Chicago Cubs lineup does project very well to right-handed pitchers, but usually that's towards the average right-handed pitchers, not the excelling right-handed pitchers like Paul Skenes. Hendricks will be on the mound here for the Chicago Cubs. He's been okay, to say best here. What you'd want to focus on from a Pittsburgh standpoint is maybe a left-handed batter or two to go up against Hendricks. Here's the issue. The left-handed batters in the lineup don't have great numbers against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. So I'm looking to cool off that Cubs lineup here and maybe look towards an under between Chicago and Pittsburgh to start the day off at 12:35 Eastern today, Dubsy.
If we look towards that game, unders, can we look towards the overs for Paul Skenes? They've got him set at 6.5, minus 125, just towards the overs. I feel like this is a reasonable number for Paul Skenes, Donnie.
Yeah, it is. And also, he has to know that his time might be running out in the 2024 season. So leave it all out there on the mound. Let's see if he can get to that 100-pitch limit. If he does, he's probably going to come very close, if not surpass, that strikeout number here for us today, Doug.
He throws nothing but gas, just like Joe Leeske coming up right here on the Sports Grid next. That's going to do it for me. Enjoy your Wednesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, the fun never stops here on the Early Line. Dubs Anderson, first 2.5 hours of the show, bringing that heat. We'll see him on Wednesdays during football season right here on the Early Line. But now some fun here from a guy that we all know, appropriately called the Pope of Greenwich Village. It's Joe Lisi in with us this morning, baby. Who's ready to rock?
What did I do to deserve this? This is becoming too consistent, Donnie. I don't know. Yeah. You know, the people have spoken. Could this be it? I don't know. You know, Pro Football Today, about 2 weeks out. I can't wait. Can't wait to chop it up for you. The season's here, finally.
They took my thumb, Charlie. So there you go. Anybody watch the Pope of Greenwich Village, check
Eric,
it out.
Eric Roberts.
Seen his finest performance. Yeah, hey, man, fantastic stuff. We can talk movies or we can talk coaches who might, frankly, could be doing movies. That's Deion Sanders. Take a look at the game starting out. By the way, Joe, I love this. Thursday football, Friday football, Saturday football, Sunday football, Monday football. The boys at CFT are going to be working overdrive this weekend, and I can't wait to get it started right away. Colorado and North Dakota State, a favorite here, opening up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 8.5. A little bit of a shift now. FanDuel now showing 9.5 as a favorite towards Colorado. A 59.5 point total here. Let's go two-pronged attack here, Joe. Give me your analysis on this football game, and also, what are we thinking about Colorado on the season as well?
Well, big picture, Colorado, and I've said this from the get-go, Donnie, he needs to get back to bowl respectability and eligibility. 6 wins, I think, is within the realm of possibility now with the move to the Big 12. They have the quarterback in regards to Shedeur Sanders, 27 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Travis Hunter, when healthy, is one of the best dual threats that we've seen in college football. He could catch it, and then what he does in regards to the defensive side of the ball. But the concern for Colorado, not just in terms of big picture, Donnie, but in terms of this game with North Dakota State and Cam Miller, their quarterback, is that that offensive line needs to get better. Colorado had the worst rushing offense in all of college football last year, only rushing for 68 yards per game. They allowed 56 sacks on the season. That needs to get better. Otherwise, they're going to be in a dogfight. I'm going to take the points with North Dakota State. This is a team at the FCS level that has won multiple national championships. They have a veteran quarterback in Cam Miller, a veteran offensive line. I think they can run it early on, and that really will dictate the tempo. And I said this too. You look at Colorado last year, Donnie. They won 3 games right out of the get-go. Once they lost that first game to Oregon, it's like they packed in the season. It was gone, right? That cannot happen this year in year number 2 with Deion Sanders. They need to get back to a bowl.
Like, also, let me talk to you about this game itself, too. Does this feel like it's going to be a referendum on the Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders? Like, we're not, like, last year it was like, what are we going to get? Oh, boy, they surprised and beat a ranked TCU team. Now, we found that at the end of the season, Joe, TCU wasn't really supposed to be that ranked team that they were in week number 1, so you do get the surprises. But what does happen if Colorado loses game number 1 here? Because you look at their win total, it's 5.5. Obviously, baked into that is they're expecting a victory in week number 1 to win the Big 12. We probably don't think that's going to be possible, but a 25-1. What are the outcomes of this game? Because let's just say they lose this game, Joe, but what happens if they win it convincingly? Does that change anybody's opinions?
I don't think it changes anybody's opinion in regards to big picture, right? They're one of the most heavily bet teams in regards to not just win the Big 12 championship, but more importantly, to actually make the college football playoff with a 5.5 win total, because it is Deion in that program, right? Here's the thing. If they win it the way they did against, let's say, TCU last year, where they come out, they put up 45 points, and they give up, let's say, 30, and they still cover this game, nobody's going to change their perception. But if they come out and lose this game to North Dakota State, everything is still in front of them. But what is the mindset of this team? That is the biggest thing that, and question mark that I have for Colorado big picture is their mind into it? Do they have to go 12-0, or are their sights set on getting back to a bowl and potentially challenging for a Big 12 championship? So again, this game is going to be critical to the outcome for the mindset of Deion. But I'm taking the points, Donnie. I mean, North Dakota State plays very good defense. They play a lot of zones, so they're going to limit Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter in terms of big plays over the top. They're going to force them to be patient, and that's going to be a cause of concern for that Colorado offense.
Two NFL guys for sure on that roster, and we'll talk about Shedeur Sanders here to win the Heisman at a 40-1 price and also Travis Hunter to win the Heisman at a 60-1 price. What's the outcome, what we can anticipate from them? Is Travis Hunter going to be a full way, you know, 60-minute man both sides here? And also, can Shedeur Sanders live up to the hype and be that top five quarterback in the draft that some people expect him to be?
Yeah, great questions. I think when Travis Hunter, you look at it, the first game against TCU last year, he played, what, 108 plays? If he continues that from the start of the season through the end and plays 12 games or 13 games this year, he's going to be mentioned in regards to the Heisman Trophy, assuming that he's close to 1,000 yards receiving or he scores multiple touchdowns on the offensive side of the ball and leads in regards to interceptions for the team. So I think he has a very good shot. He's the only player potentially from a dual threat perspective that can win the Heisman. We haven't seen a defensive player since Charles Woodson, but he's that type of player that could shut down the opposing offense's best player and really do it on the offensive side of the ball. For Shedeur Sanders, yeah, he could put up the numbers. But again, are they going to give the Heisman, and I'll ask you, are they going to give the Heisman Trophy to a player that, let's say, throws for 5,000 yards, 40 or 50 touchdowns, and their team is 4-8? Bailey Zappe didn't win it a couple of years ago. That's the biggest question mark. And when you look at Shedeur big picture, is he the type of guy that could really lead his team from behind or get this team to 8 wins? If he can, then he's going to be mentioned in regards to the Heisman. If he just compiles stats, I don't think they give it to him.
Yeah, if we were going by just by statistics, a couple of Hawaii quarterbacks would be running away with the Heisman right. Trophy race over the past 20 years. So I agree with you in that instance. You have to have your Heisman moment, not throwing for 400 yards against an FCS team. It's throwing for 400 yards against your best opponent in the Big 12 while you're trying to challenge to win the Big 12 in that spot. Now, week number one, Joe, we love it because there's many more games than week number zero, and they cover a multitude of days, which is great. But we are going to get our fair share of blowouts, but we also are going to get the first look at some of these top 20 five teams. Western Carolina taking on NC State with a 32.5 point line. Murray State, Missouri, 47.5 point line. Lindenwood versus Kansas, 44.5. Southern Utah versus Utah, 38.5. And then Temple, my Temple Owls, going to play Oklahoma at a 42.5 point favorite. How do you approach this weekend betting-wise, Joe, when you see all of these numbers? Do you just ride the favorites out, or there's some spots that you say, you know what, maybe these dogs can at least hang around and get a cover?
Yeah, like that NC State line, again, you have Grayson McCall that comes over in regards to that, and Jordan Waters, the running back from Duke, that are a new dynamic 1-2 punch for NC State. But Dave Dorn and the Wolfpack have been this methodical type of offense. And even though they were 9-3 last year, and they're a very good home team, 32.5, Donnie, is a huge number to be laying with a quarterback that came out of Coastal Carolina. And Grayson McCall was one of the best FBS quarterbacks throughout his career, but struggled last year with some injuries. We saw Brennan Armstrong struggle in that offense. I might be inclined to take the 32.5 with Western Carolina. And again, when you look at Oklahoma and Temple, Temple is so bad. Jackson Arnold and Oklahoma should be able to rip them early on. That's the biggest thing, is that the sights and the temperament and perception of Oklahoma is down this year with a 7.5 win total. This is an opportunity to really make a statement at home, and they beat up on non-conference opponents early on. I would lay it with Oklahoma and take the points with Western Carolina.
Yeah, it should be a fun start to the weekend. As we said, we're going to that Colorado-Buffaloes game. Prime time in prime time should be a lot of fun. And also, boy, oh boy, with that post-game press conference, it's going to be heated up either way, because a lot of people hoping that Colorado loses. Deion understands that. He'll be ready to return fire if his team really comes prepared. But if they lose, are we going to get to see one of the all-time press conferences with questions flying left and right at Deion Sanders? This is the great part about college football starting up. And also, the Dallas Cowboys, they signed Dalvin Cook this morning. An aging backfield to go along with Zeke here. Who knows what's in stake for the Cowboys in 2024. We got some big games from the docket this week in college football. And we got Joe Lisi here to talk about it. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Joe Lisi, Donnie Wright, Saturday Night on the Early Line, talking about college football, and a new season is upon us, a new setup for Joe Lisi in the home studio. We are absolutely ready to go, people. Clemson, Georgia, neutral site, the big dogs, yes, pun intended. Georgia Bulldogs favored by 13.5 points over Clemson. That total, which opened up at 50.5, Joe, actually dropping to 48.5. We know what Georgia brings to the table. Is this the same old Clemson we're used to basically the last 10 years, or are we getting a glimpse of maybe the not-so-strong side of the Clemson Tigers?
Yeah, if Clemson does not show well in this game, Donnie, it could be the end of the dynasty that we know it in regards to Dabo Swinney. Now, from the series perspective, it's been owned by Georgia. They've won 7 of the last 8 in terms of the series. The last Clemson win came back in 2013. That shows you how long ago Clemson knocked off Georgia. They haven't played every year, but they did play a few years ago with DJU, and Georgia won that ball game 10-7. The fact that this line is coming down actually has me a little bit intrigued, because in order for Clemson to win, they're going to need Cade Klubnik to step up and stretch that defense over the top. It wasn't the same dominant Georgia defense that we've seen in terms of years past in regards to just taking games over when they won a natty just a couple of seasons ago with, 14, 15 defensive stars that made it to the NFL. They were a bend but don't break defense, but in the bigger game stepped up. The biggest thing when you look at this, Don, is that Georgia last year had the number one ranked third down offense, 55% conversion rate, and the number one ranked third down defense. So you know when your defense is giving you short fields and multiple opportunities to score and opposing defenses can't shut down Carson Beck in your offense, what does that mean? They just roll away and cover numbers. So again, 13.5 with 6 months of preparation. This is do or die for Dabo Swinney. They did win 5 games down the stretch last year and won by 10.6 points per game. I think Georgia wins, but I'm going to take the points with Clemson. I'm starting to like the over, though.
Yeah, always intriguing to watch some of these opening battles where so many times you're supposed to have that layup or that cupcake on your schedule to start the season before you get going. But these two teams going to tangle as 2 Power 5 opponents, both of them hoping to make the college football playoff. And this will be a big springboard to either team wins this game. 7:30 p.m. on Saturday night, 209, 210 on the rotation. That is Notre Dame and Texas A&M. How about this line at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe? Opened up at 1.5. Now we're seeing it as high as 2.5. Other outlets going as high as 3 points. Now, totals typically in college football, you're going to see routinely high 50s, 60s, sometimes 70s. Take a look at this one. Opened up at 48.5 at FanDuel, now down to 46.5. Is this going to be a defensive struggle? And who takes the game here, Notre Dame or A&M?
Yeah, Donnie, this is the most intriguing line that I've seen. Again, they have an 8.5 win total, Texas A&M. And tell me the last time Texas A&M overachieved expectations. Kevin Sumlin didn't do it. Jimbo Fisher didn't do it. R.C. Slocum and Jackie Sherrill and Mike Sherman didn't do it. Why do we believe Mike Elko's going to do it, especially in year number one? I'm starting to like the under here. You have two defensive-minded head coaches, Marcus Freeman, Mike Elko. Elko also knows Riley Leonard, the starting quarterback for Notre Dame, very well because he started at Duke last year, almost led the upset over Notre Dame in Durham. They were a 5.5-point dog before Sam Hartman and the Fighting Irish pulled that ball game out in the last minute. But again, I still believe that Notre Dame is the better team. I think they have the better quarterback, Leonard, over Connor Wegman. Wegman struggled in big games with consistency last year, and I'll throw a stat out there. Marcus Freeman, last 2 years on the road or on a neutral field site, straight up, 10-4 overall. Might be ugly, but I'll take Notre Dame with the points. I'm just not buying into the hype of A&M, especially in game number one.
Yeah, a lot of new moving parts as well. As you talked about, Riley Leonard coming over to play quarterback here for Notre Dame, fresh off of Sam Hartman last year. So we'll see if he can provide that. But not a lot of returning starters on that Notre Dame offense for that game, but it should be a good one. Let me just ask you a quick general question about this weekend's games, too. Because Boston College is going to take on Florida State on September 2nd. De facto, the last game of the weekend. looking at Florida State's season and add the advent of obviously the 12-team playoff, Joe, you can afford a loss at this point. But I don't think too many people thought that Florida State technically was going to lose that game. 13.5, 10.5 point favorites, depending when you got it at. What's the MO for Florida State in this game? Are we now worried that they're favored by 2 touchdowns and can they even beat Boston College? Or is that more of a mirage that we saw in game number 1 for FSU?
Well, again, it's a conference game, right? And we talked about that in regards to week one. You know, it's Boston College's first game of the year, and it's the best team potentially on paper heading into the regular season. And let's not forget, last year, in Hill, they were a 20.5, 21-point underdog. And Thomas Castellanos almost won that game single-handedly with his legs. They lost it, I believe, 32-29. Now you come back home to Tallahassee. Again, do I put a lot of weight into that loss? Yeah, absolutely. It was a terrible loss by Mike Norvell in Florida State. I thought they were walking through the motions, but it's still not the same team that we saw last year. DJU comes over. There's a lot of defensive players that also have transferred in. The continuity wasn't there from the offense and defensive line perspective. I probably, this is a no play for me, but I probably would lay it with Florida State, hoping that they kick it up a notch. They're more intense, and I got to believe that that defense comes to play. The fact that it's in Tallahassee, now you're getting them basically a 4-point discount, I would lay it.
Now, it is hurricane season in the state of Florida here. Big Chest Mario out here as a favorite against the Gators in Gatorland. I mean, is this the Hurricanes' year? They put it all together, and all that money spent on NIL comes to fruition with a playoff appearance for those Hurricanes.
Absolutely not. And I was going to talk on the last half of the segment. I was going to bash them and continue to bash them. I'll do it after you're gone. But I'll just say this. Mario, 12-13 in South Beach. Everybody's praising Cam Ward and Damian Martinez, and rightfully so. But they were 2-4 last year, Donnie, on the road or on a neutral field site. And he might not even have the best quarterback potentially in this matchup. I'll talk about it on the break.
Come on now, Joe. Come on. Feel the need here. Sebastian Ibis is here.
No.
You can't fade Sebastian the Ibis. Lay the points with the Canes. Take them to win the national championship. Mario Cristobal, one of the best coaches in this nation, is going to show up this year. Cam Ward, go Canes, go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the early line, Donnie Wrightside had to take off. He had to get a coupon for a rotisserie chicken, but he'll be back tomorrow. We were talking about college football week number one. I'm going to get back into that, but we're set for the bye-bye-bye segment. I think last time I was on the show, Friezo, I gave out 2 winners, even though the all plays didn't play out. If you played them straight, they came in. Give me bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
Sounds like Justin Timberlake right there. I'm going to go with 2 overs, Beto and Cruz in regards to Oakland and Cincinnati. Now, this game last night, I think, started slow. Cincinnati was up 1-0. They then broke out. Oakland did. It was 5-4 final. I think we could get this total up to maybe 11.5, 12. We'll take it over. So over the total in Oakland and Cincinnati. How about Miami and Colorado? Colorado, I got that over last night. That game was 8-4. I altered it to 12.5. They got 9-8, the home run in the top of the ninth. The Marlins get it. So give me over Beto and Cruz in regards to Oakland and Cincinnati. And give me over Miami and Colorado. 10, I think it's Freeland and I got to take Myers in regards to that matchup. So we're going over Miami and Colorado. We're going to alt it up to 12.5. We were talking about college football. I left off talking with Donnie in regards to Miami and Florida. He's all over the Hurricanes. I have no idea why. You talk about Mario Big Chess Cristobal, 12 and 13 overall in regards to his tenure in South Beach. They have a 9.5 win total. They are now the front runners with the Clemson Tigers potentially to win the ACC. They're now down to plus 280, 290 in multiple books. Everybody's raving about Cam Ward, 19 of 23 for 243 yards in regards to the spring game. You sprinkle in Damian Martinez in regards to that offense. I do have concerns about the defense as well, especially in the secondary week one, a matchup going up against Graham Mertz. And I've said this about Billy Napier and Mario Cristobal in regards to big picture. They're both on the hot seat. Both have to win this matchup. But you look at Cristobal last year on the road or on a neutral field site. The Hurricanes were 2-4 and lost those four games by an average margin of defeat of 9.6 points per game. And when you look at Billy Napier, he's only 11-14 during his tenure in Gainesville. But nine of those wins have come at home. He's 9-4 straight up. And I mentioned Graham Mertz played very well within the scheme last year, completed 72% of his passes, threw for 20 touchdowns, three interceptions. He's playing back in the same scheme over the past couple of years. The consistency of the quarterback to wide receiver relationship, I think, is the biggest factor why I'm calling for the upset week number one. I think Florida is a 2.5-point dog, plus 130, 140 on the money line, strike the upset over Florida, over Miami. And if that happens, Donnie asked me about Florida State big picture as well. Yes, they went from plus 290 to winning the ACC. They are now a 6-1 shot in regards to that number. They're now plus 360 to make the college football playoff. If Miami loses to Florida on Saturday, if Clemson loses to Georgia on Saturday, that opens the door up. Even though they're not conference games, both Dabo and Mario Big Chest are on the hot seat. There's more pressure on Clemson and Miami than there is Florida State right now. It is what it is. Mike Norvell did lead that team to a 13-0 regular season record. They should have been in the college football playoff. They were snubbed. And last week, they had a terrible loss. But they have the opportunity to regroup. They play both Clemson and Miami respectively. They get Clemson in their house. Depending upon how Notre Dame fares this weekend, if they get the victory over A&M and they're a top-ranked team heading into that late November matchup, everything is right in front of Florida State. So I still like them at plus 360 to make the college football playoff. And I took them plus 550 on FanDuel to actually win at the ACC immediately after that loss on Saturday afternoon. So keep an eye out for that. Heisman Trophy odds. You know I'm all about the running back, baby. I know Dylan Gabriel and Carson Beck are there. We talk about Carson Beck. Five performances last year, over 300. They won by 26.6 points per game. But my pick is the 90-1 shot, Donovan Edwards. Keep an eye out for Michigan. I think they have the potential to win the Big Ten and get into the playoff. Donnie will be back along with Ben tomorrow. Coming up next is Craig Mish and Newswire. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you on Saturday. College football is the best.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.